time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Hey, this is part two of our show on backyard birding, and today the title is The Cast. So this show is for people that live in the city, the suburbs, or if you're in farm country, because birding, it's a great pastime that so many people share across this earth. And you know something? Birders, people that love birds, love to share their knowledge. So backyard birding from house to house or clubs, it's just a great way. It's a great pastime. This show was brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. In part one, we covered birdhouses and bird feeders. And for those of you that live in the city, you know, guess what? There are some great songbirds around there. I had a friend who lived in New York City many years ago. And when you walked into the back part of their apartment dwelling, they had a feeder set up there, and they attracted so many cool birds in. So don't just think because you live in the city that this show is not for you. It is for everyone. Well, things we need to know. There's two types of birders. Those that bird by sight, meaning that they must see the bird to count the bird. The other is birders that bird by sound. They only have to hear a bird's call to count it. You know, and when birders go out in clubs and things like this, they fall into these two categories, and some are, no, I didn't see him, it doesn't count. And other birders go, no, I heard him, I know it counts. Well, guess what? When you have your backyard feeders, your backyard haven, you get to enjoy both, birding by sight and birding by sound. You know, and if you want to learn more about what birds look like, you know, I'm going to be talking and discussing the cast of characters today. You want to know what they look like, what some of their calls are, you can go online to Cornell University Ornithology. Ornithology is the study of birds. And they have the coolest site. They have every bird that you could imagine. They have information about the bird. They have genus and species names, the science side of things. They've got the call. And the neat thing about the calls is some birds have many different calls. So it's worthwhile to listen to those. And what I would recommend is the Peterson Field Guide. Peterson makes many different field guides. Their birding field guide, you have to find which guide is right for your part of the country. And to me, I keep that by the window. I always talk about this in my podcast studio right now. I am surrounded by windows, so I get to see some cool birds going through. Sitting right here is my Peterson field guide with me. And you know, if you follow me at Instagram at JoeyBTV, JoeyBTV, you could see some of my daily photos of nature, and obviously they include some birds. So whether I'm filming out in the wild and I bring along my digital, I love, you know, there's always somebody with a camera chasing me around the country, but I always have my digital with me. I got a decent Nikon, and I'm actually taking some cool photos. So you could check those out there. You could also follow me on my Facebook page. It's the Joey B's Outdoor Adventure fan page, and you'll get to see some great photos and some cool info there too. Well, what I've done today is this. The best introduction to the cast of characters is to group them. So I'm going to give you group by group, and I'll show you why they fall into certain categories. And the first one I said is, let's go social. Going social, there are birds that, you know, they actually like being near humans. And the number one bird that is the most social bird happens to be the chickadee. The chickadee is a namesayer because he says his name. He goes chickadee-dee-dee-dee. It's a little higher pitched than my voice. Well, you know what? If you're outside and you're near your feeder, they will stay there. They don't get frightened away. One of the cool things is I got a big piece of property, so when it snows out, which seems to be in the wintertime, like every week, we get a big snowstorm. And I use a tractor and plow on the driveway, but I've got my walkway going up to my front stairs, a little porch area there, and my bird feeder is right outside the door. I mentioned that in part one. And I'll be shoveling. And the chickadee is just hanging out there like every other bird is scattering. The chickadee, he's there. He's hanging out. Just really social. And you know what? If I was going to say, let me pick my five most favorite songbirds by character, by color, by sound, the chickadee's got to fall in there. I'll call him number one for now, but as I talk, because I get so excited about nature, I'll probably have a new number one in 5 minutes. And the second social bird is the tufted titmouse. And you know what? They like to come in small little flocks, and they'll be zipping in and hanging out. They do get a little bit more frightened than a chickadee, but they are very social birds. Great couple calls, so it's worthwhile, you know, checking those out. And nice coloration. And you know what's funny? Obviously, in this podcast, you can't see color. Well, you can't see color, but guess what? I'll give you a couple descriptions, and then I'd say check your Peterson Field Guide, check Cornell Ornithology. I mean, there's a million other sites that are out there, but there's great beauty to the birds, and it's also pretty cool to know what birds actually come onto your feeder or into your on your property. And the second one of the social group, we label those, we call them the LBBs, the little brown birds. And the little brown birds, we're talking about the sparrow family. And, you know, people just say, ah, that's a sparrow. Well, guess what? You need to look at the markings. There are so many different species of markings, and there is something that differentiates one from the next from the next. And I just say this, my favorite is the white-throated sparrow. And when you look at him, he's got these really cool black and white stripes on his head, cool markings there. And there's a yellow spot between his eyes and his bill. So when you check him out, you go, man, this is pretty cool. He's got a great song, too. But he's just got these great markings that are on him. And most people just look down real quick, give a quick go, oh, that's a sparrow. Well, guess what? Some of the sparrows, really cool. So get into differentiating between which ones are there. Don't just take things, and here's your challenge. Don't take things for granted. Challenge yourself to get to know the individual beauty of birds, you know, the sparrows or wherever. And you know what? We can then take that into the human population too. Now, my next category I have, I call birds of color. These are birds that you know a little bit about because when I say the first one, you're going to go cardinal. You're going to go, oh, okay, St. Louis Cardinals, baseball. Well, let's talk a little bit. The male is the red cardinal. Everyone knows him, very identifiable. But the female is a brown bird, looks just like the male in shape, obviously in size, and has an orange beak. And if I was going to say what is one of my favorite wintertime birds, it is actually the female cardinal because of the color. When you see that orange beak as it's poking around through the snow, because remember, they are ground feeders, platform feeders, so you get to see that. And you know, when you get to February, everyone is always talking about beginning of February, Groundhog's Day. Well, I'm going to tell you that the month should be Cardinal Month, because we know February 14th happens to be Valentine's Day. And here's one of the greater things of nature. The first bird to set up their territory is the cardinal. And they do it in early February. I am always looking for Valentine's Day and February 14th, but it's typically always a week or two before that. And you will actually first hear that male cardinal testing his voice and a very identifiable voice. And you get to hear him test call. So he doesn't even do the whole call. And then as it gets closer and closer to Valentine's Day, right around there, all of a sudden you start to hear his voice. And then you see him become very active because now male cardinals chasing other male cardinals, setting up territories. And it's really neat because where I live, we've got lots of snow. So you've got snow going on. Matter of fact, a cool story is we were going out to San Antonio a few years back filming out there. And what had happened was I'm shoveling snow here in the east. I'm shoveling some snow. Cardinal is calling. And I'm going, wow, it's pretty neat. I get on a plane, get to San Antonio, get to my motel, get outside in the afternoon because, you know me, I got to be in the outdoors all the time. And there is a male cardinal calling there. And I'm going, wow, I heard him this morning, except I guess it was about 3,000 miles apart. So to me, it's like that February 14th, Valentine's Day. Well, it's just from now on, let's just call it Cardinal Month. It really is cool. Now, one of my other birds of color is the blue jay. And, you know, and they get this label, bullies of the backyard. Yeah, they're a little bit tough guys, especially when you catch a, you know, they'll come in small little flocks and come in. But even as an individual, when they want something, they get something. One of the things you need to take a look at is their colors. Their color is spectacular. So it's not just blue. There's shades of blue that's inside of there. They are really great looking birds. But instead of the bullies of the backyard, I want to give them another title. We're going to call them the watchbird. You've heard of watchdogs? Well, they're the watchbirds because when they, or crows, and crows sort of aren't part of this because they're not the typical backyard bird, but when either one of them sees another raptor, bird of prey, hawks, owls, they actually will just go after them, bang and bang, and they're going to let you know. One of the scientists I work with, and he was joking, he says, blue jays and crows, they either call for a reason or they don't. And I thought it was funny. It's like most times when they're calling, they're actually calling to chase a larger bird of prey out of their territory. And you go, well, how can a smaller bird, you know, chase a red-tailed hawk, whatever it is? Well, guess what? It is grouped in numbers, and because the other birds really are soaring birds or big flapping birds, the more maneuverable blue jays get to do that. So, yeah, matter of fact, great story. It was not even a week ago, doing some work, and all of a sudden I hear blue jays calling and calling. And it's almost like, you know, if you have a child and you hear a child cry or whine, but then when they're really hurt or they're really in trouble, that cry or whine is at a higher pitch. Same is true with the blue jays. And I'm at my home, I'm doing some work. And while I'm doing the work, you could actually hear that higher pitched. And then it's blue jay calling in, blue jay and blue jay. And I look, and in the back part of my property, in one of the evergreens, is a red-tailed hawk. And they wanted this guy out. Well, he obviously had roosted there for the night. Roost means to sleep. So he's sleeping there. It's now early morning. And they're basically saying, all right, you got your sleep, get out. And it's funny, but this red tail would have none of it. But what the blue jay did, my watchbird, he got me to get on to the red-tailed hawk. So I got some great photos. Once again, check out all of the Facebook and the there's so many different places, my tweets. And if you're interested, maybe you have a question about something we're speaking about, you can always tweet me at Joey B News. So maybe we'll catch your question on a future podcast sometime. So you can do that. And you should also know that this podcast is brought to you by Tranquility Mountain Backpacks. You can see the new Joey B Signature Series at TranquilityMountain.com, where adventures begin. So going back to my birds of color, one of the cooler birds. And I'm going to say I could put him in the bird of color or the cool bird is the nuthatch. He's got an awesome call. You need to listen to his call. And it's funny that take a woodpecker, shrink the woodpecker down, and you've got the mini body, and now you got the nuthatch. And what makes him, because you see, every organism on Earth has a niche. They fit in somewhere. Well, here's the cool thing about the nuthatch. He goes down the tree head first. So you see, all the birds are going one way looking for insects. He goes the opposite way, and he finds insects that the other birds don't find. Cool to watch him coming down the tree head first, and then just by his colors and then by his call. And if you're fortunate enough to get him on your feeder, that's even a big plus. Now, there is a Native American tale, and it says this bird brings winter on his tail. And the Native American tale is talking about the junco. And you see, the junco actually starts up in Canada and migrates south, but doesn't go all the way south. He stops even in colder climates. And I know when winter is on its way, like, you know, people will give the date of December 21st, here's winter. But if I see the junco around Thanksgiving, I'm going, all right, we have an early winter coming in. And I'm referring to cold and snow because the junco is carrying that winter on his tail because he's moving down because of the colder weather that's above. And you know what? Got a darker color to him, lighter white belly, but also a pretty cool looking bird. And I also know that when winter is over, and not by the date of when spring occurs, and I am looking for that junco. When the juncos are gone, I know that, guess what? Winter is gone. Now, I have a unique group of birds, and this group here, they will actually gather on the suet most of the time. You'll be really fortunate. Some of them do go on the seed bell, and it's the woodpecker family. And you know, there are many different types of woodpeckers, and I'm going to do start from the smallest, go to the largest that I have around here in my neck of the woods. Because remember this, every part of the country, you're going to have different species of birds that are around. And The smallest woodpecker is the downy woodpecker. And the downy and the hairy, yes, he's called the hairy. No, he does not have hair. He's feathered up. But the downy and the hairy look very similar to each other, 6-inch, 9-inch in size. And it is very similar the way they look, but you can actually see and identify by size, and that's the key thing there. And then the male of the species has a red spot on the back of their head. So you'll know whether it's a male downy or a female downy by the spot or not the spot, and whether when they're on your feeder or somewhere in your backyard. And then one of the other ones, and the next two woodpeckers, they've just got great calls as well. One is the red-bellied, and guess what? The red belly has a red head. So you're looking at the male red head, real cool call. Typically, I hear this guy around my home calling all the time. And then the other one is the flicker. Also great call, yellowish in color, decent size. And right away, we think about woodpeckers and we say trees. Well, guess what? The flicker loves insects, and he loves insects that are on your lawn. And I describe it this way. Some people, and I am an organic guy, some people put weed killers down and all this. I'm going to tell you, if you see a flicker on your lawn, you don't need weed killer. He will stay there, and he will eat every insect that he possibly can, and he'll return day after day. So for me, my organics happen to be in, is watching the flicker, whatever the larva is that's below the, I guess the level of the roots of the grass. The flicker's there, and he's finding them, and he's enjoying them. And you know something? There are a number of different bird species that I've been speaking about here. And if you go on and log on to Joey B TV, you will see in Backyard Birding, I have a title there, Navbar, and it's the Avian Wildlife Center, and my friend Giselle Smisco. And Giselle is brilliant. This is what she does. Once again, that niche, and here's Giselle's niche in life. And it's her job to rehabilitate birds to get them back into the wild. And if she ever can't get one back into the wild, maybe the injury is so severe, she keeps them for education purposes as she teaches people via television with me. Or she's out, you know, schools, different things like that. But you can watch a number of the episodes there on Joey B TV with Giselle and myself, a few other people as well. Now, went through a number of the groupings of birds you'll see, and then I have friends of the group. And I say, well, friends of the group, you see, you have to once again see what birds are in your neck of the woods, you know, where you live in the country. And some of the birds I'm going to chat about, some of them actually migrate in and out. You see, the birds I was chatting about, those are resident birds by me. They stay all the time. And one of the birds with a great many songs is the mockingbird. And the mockingbird has these white wing patches. And when you see him from the underside, like he's flapping along, he just is so identifiable, but so cool to see. And he's got 6 or 7 songs in a pattern. And you need to listen to the birds that are in your area of the country. And then when you listen to the mockingbird, as birders call him, listen to the mocker. When you listen to him, he'll repeat his songs and he'll go through his repertoire of songs. And one of the crazier things, and this is where I grew up. Where I grew up, there was some woods behind me. And there was a mockingbird that would call all night long. I am telling you, from dark till the sun came up, this guy would call. And people around the country, you know, we've chatted and they say this happens. I'm happy where I live now. There aren't any mockers calling all night long. And what amazes me is this. We always talk about in nature to conserve energy, because if you don't conserve energy, you have to go get energy. Well, this mocker that would be calling all night long, he's not conserving energy. So there's something for you. I'd like to interview a mocker someday. I'm sure it won't happen because I don't speak Mockanese. But it would be really neat to know why. Now, another backyard bird is the catbird. He gets the catbird because he actually, we call him meows. And I can't do it with my deeper pitch voice, but he's got a cool meow to him. The grayish color to him, little hint of like a slate blue that's in there. Neat looking bird. And one that goes along with that is the brown thrasher. And he sounds real tough, the brown thrasher. But if you look, the brown thrasher really is this, I'll call him a platform bird because he's actually along the ground. And he's got a really cool, I'll call it a patchy color. It's almost like you're looking at the chest of a hawk or sometimes an owl. And that seems to be the coloration that this bird has. Now, I'm going to give you a bird, and right away people are going to say, I associate it with robin. And people say, I associate it with, oh, the first robin of spring. Well, here's the crazy thing with robins. Most robins migrate. Some robins do not. There are winter flocks of robins. And I have people, you know, I'll be going for, there's a county park, huge park that I run in, and I'll be going for a run, cooling down, and I'll hear somebody going, oh, look, there's a robin, spring must be here. And in my mind, I'm going, well, it's thinking February, and the ground's covered with snow, and if they would just look to the right, they'd see 10 more robins, because they actually do have winter flocks of robins. So yes, when you see that first robin in the spring, yes, it excites the mind, but I hope for you that he was really the one that migrated back. Now, another bird, it's funny that we keep talking about birds that are professional baseball teams. You have the Cardinals, the Blue Jays. Well, how about the Baltimore Oriole? And sometimes called the Northern Oriole. Great colors. And you know what's neat? When you look at the baseball hats of these teams, they are the exact colors of these birds. So the Baltimore Oriole gives your backyard some great color to them. And a smaller bird doesn't have a lot of color, but it's got almost like, people will say red, but I'm going to say it's a lighter, almost a pinkish color, is the house finch. And you got the house finches up to your feeders, and they are one, but one bird that glistens in the sun, and people are like, ah, he's not, well, the mourning dove. When you check out the mourning dove, when the sun is hitting his wings, and you see actually all these, it almost looks glitter-like on his wings. It's really, really cool. Now, in part one, I spoke to you about bird feeders. Well, here's a bird feeder that we want to have out in the fall, but we want to make sure that we put it out in the spring for sure, and I'll explain why this goes on, and it's a hummingbird feeder. Some of you may have hummingbirds in your area, and if you have hummingbirds in your area, you put out the feeder spring, you know, late summer when they're migrating back, and you will actually get some great looks. The ruby throats, the amazing speed at which they flap their wings, and that's where the humming sound comes from. Sometimes if you're out in your backyard and you have a bright colored clothing, you know, maybe even like in your sneakers, something a little fluorescent, you'll see the hummingbirds zip along because, once again, they're looking for color and scent. Maybe you smell nice too, but they're looking for color and scent as they're being attracted. And I say this, hummingbird feeders in the fall during migration, because most birds that migrate, they're very interested in getting miles, putting miles on per day. But the hummingbird, because he's so high energy, would love a great little sip of food and he's gone. And it's amazing that I'll put out extra feeders just in the fall, and you'll see a hummingbird zip down a little bit of food and he's gone. And I'm going to say this, part two really is about the different birds, but that feeder will attract that specific bird in. Now, I don't know about your neck of the woods, but I've got some cool extra birds. I just said, well, these are some of the larger ones, but some of the birds that, you know, around my neck of the woods that I just really appreciate. One of them is the turkey. And me, as part of my graduate research, I did some research on turkey vocalization. Yes, and I do speak Turkanese. And you can actually, if you go on to Joey B TV and look at my episode on turkeys, I teach you about every turkey fact that you need to know for Thanksgiving or for your general knowledge. But you can actually see a real cool episode on them. And then I get into probably one of my favorite groups are the owls. And the barred owl, pretty large owl. And think about this. I give you a cool barred owl fact so you can talk about, because no, they can't spin their head all the way around. It's actually 360, but they go 360, spin it back the other way, 360, and it looks like they just played Exorcist and their head spun around. No, they can't do that. But watch how crazy this is. If, and I'll use a football soccer field so you'd have this picture in your mind. If a barred owl was on a goalpost and there was a mouse walking under the snow under the opposite goalpost, 100 yards away, the barred owl could hear that mouse walking under the snow. You would actually see him take off, fly all the way across, talons into the snow, pick up the mouse. That is really cool. And he also has a great call because, you know, sometimes we try to put words to some of, you know, what birds say. And the Bart Owl with his call is Who Cooks For You? Who Cooks For You All? And if you listen to his call, it sounds just like that. And one of the more eerie sounding birds, and if you ever hear him, most people go, well, that's not a bird. Yeah, he is the screech owl. And they actually use his voice in a lot of the horror films. And the screech owl's got really eerie, but a cool call. For me, you know, I'm up first light. Most times 4:30, so I'm up before first light. And I have a tree right outside my kitchen window. And whether the windows are open depends on the time of the year, because I open my windows as soon as I can. There's a screech owl, and he lands in there, and he calls every now and again. And here I am making coffee, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, listening to this screech. And to me, there's just nothing better than it. Now, one of the typical raptors I find around here, birds of prey, happens to be a red-tailed hawk. I mentioned him earlier, but I get some pretty, I'll call them resident red-tails there around here. Great bird, great color. You get to see them get up, soar, get on those thermals where they're not using energy. You know, all these songbirds are flapping away using energy. Hummingbird, crazy amounts of flaps per second. And the red tail just gets to get up there and soar above. Pretty cool to watch him. His call is so loud and deafening. And what's really neat is he calls out and all the animals that he's hunting freezes. And when they freeze, that's how he goes. And then he begins to look. And that's how he goes down to capture them. Another cool one that I'd say this, if all the birds in your backyard, they just disappear, or you're looking at your birds and your feeder and they're gone. You go, well, where'd they go? You now know that there's a sharp-shinned hawk, one of the accipiters, a sharp-shinned hawk. He is in your backyard because sharp-shins, or we call them sharpies, they eat other birds. So the birds sort of just disappear and go into hiding. And to give you a real fun story, one day I'm hiking, leading a group of young Americans out there in the Great Swamp National Refuge. And while I'm hiking along, this purple martin comes flying as fast as it can, like just like almost hit me in the head, zings above my head. And in that instant, I'm wondering, why did he fly that close to my head? But in the same instant, a sharp-shinned hawk zips and also zips right over my head. Like I'm saying, it was almost hitting me in the side of the head, then over my hat by about an inch on the top of my head. And then the Sharpie did the same thing, chasing him. And he chased him off into the woods. So I don't know if he ever got him or not. Maybe I was the blocker there for, don't know. But that was just a real, real cool thing to see the Sharpie in action. Now, during migration, spring and fall, you need to be on the lookout for different birds, colors, and different calls. They're there only for a short time. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why you have that Peterson's Field Guide, you know, on hand that you have by like your favorite window that you go birding or wherever you sit. Because sometimes you hear a bird, you're going, oh, what was that? Because you weren't used to the call. And I go online, Cornell Ornithology, you listen up. Or I just open up Peterson's Field Guide if I see some coloration that I'm not used to. And 1 year, American Woodcock, and they get the real cool call. I hear it, and I know who he is, but they're not native really to my local part of the country. And I hear him, and I'm going, and I grab the Petersons, and I get outside and go, yeah, I got one. So during that migration time, that is something that you actually, you know, really would, you know, get out there and enjoy that. You know, with careful planning of bird feeders, bird houses, bird baths, and some great perennial flowers, you can turn your backyard into a bird sanctuary. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B's outdoor adventure. Joey B's outdoor adventure. Joey B's outdoor adventure. Joey B's outdoor adventure. That was awesome.